There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
We are recording now. It is James Whelan speaking to you live, not really live, but from the studios of Crow's Nest, where I am wall-to-wall boxes. It is the Theory of Thing podcast, all everything you need to know about investing, brought to you by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange, amfex.com. Go and check it out. I am joined, no advice. General in nature, you know the deal about that one. I'm going to get that right. Unscripted, unrehearsed. I'm live, or not live. What is it? It's live that I'm recording it, but it's I'm here from the Crow's Nest place where wall-to-wall boxes. I'm standing up here, shifting my house, going to go back to the Northbridge deck and get into it there. I'm joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investments. Heath, how are you now?
Very well, thanks, mate. I hope you're well, and I hope our viewers and listeners are all well.
Mate, the clunkiest introduction I could possibly imagine. I'm sorry about that.
You stumbled through it.
Yeah, mate, we get there. It's like, as you can see, it's all boxes here.
Boxes everywhere.
There's boxes everywhere, boxes behind me, and this is where we go. So today's the day, packing it all up, getting it done. Good thing the market has been fine and steady and irregular. I've been giving it, this is sort of the new strategy of not being in there, tapping away, freaking out about everything every day. People are in things. There's no big moves that are being made. It's always for the best. I'd say that this week probably proved that point quite eruditely. There you go. Eruditely? Mm-hmm. Go with that. Mm-hmm. Mate, you want to give us the wrap?
Yeah, mate. It's been a good week, actually, for US and now today, because the Australian market's up 1.3% this morning, the Australian market as well. So, yep. Yeah, the US is up over about 1% for the week. We saw ARM IPO last night, and it was up 25% over its listing price. So I think it was $51 price, and it ended up around $63, $64. So
yeah,
really strong night. And I don't think anyone's surprised by that. I mean, given that AI and semiconductors and that are still pretty hot, that whole discussion, it was always going to open up quite well. So we'll wait and see how that goes. But US data came out last night. Headline retail figures were strong. But it's a little bit deceiving. Most of that was at the pump, at the gasoline pump, with the petrol prices up quite a bit over in the US. The core measure of retail sales, which goes into GDP, was only up 0.1%. So that's probably a better measure to take a look at. So I think the US consumer still is struggling, or starting to struggle, and is only going to start paying up for essentials like, you know, your petrol at the pump, etc. So continued jobs losses were pretty good last night as well. So it was more of that narrative of, you know, we're in for a softer landing than a hard landing or no landing sort of scenario. And that's why we've seen markets sort of perform well this week.
Yeah, no, it's been a good week. I can see what I've been seeing. Now, one of the one things that I did manage to get to, and I'm just going to pull up here with his name so that I've actually got a Global X were good enough to have an event. You know, there's a couple of sandwiches, a couple of sliders they had out there. Always good with a burger to get you in there. And they've got the head of their thematic side. His name is Scott, and I do apologize, Scott Helfstein.
Okay, yeah.
From America came out, and he's that classic New York guy, but so aggressively bullish on some of the themes that he's got. He gave far and away the best overview of why, and it's been difficult to do so, but why certain parts of the market, especially the NASDAQ, has gone up as significantly as it's gone up this year. And I don't think a lot of people have been able to explain it as well as he has. This is part of the, you know, you've always got to take time for this. I mean, it's an hour and a half talking to one of the smartest minds in thematics. So thank you to Global X. I did promise him I was going to give him a mention for this one. Thank you, Global X, for the invite and being able to sit two seats away from this very intelligent man talking about thematics. And he did say, so the reasoning behind it was quite simple. All of the stuff about the discounting cash flows when rates rise, he threw all of that out the window. You know what everyone says about, oh, if a rate goes up this, then you need to discount the future earnings. You know, that's sort of the thing that people are talking about with tech. And he's just gone, look at the companies that are making up, you know, make the Magnificent Seven. Look at what they've got. They don't have debt. They don't have they've got buttloads of cash, and when they need to raise capital, they can do it quite easily. They don't need to go to the traditional debt markets that other companies need to go to, that value companies go to. They're cashed up, they're good to go.
They are the value companies.
So he's like, so it's a complete, like, it's a moot point. He gave a different expression. It's in my notes, which I don't have, they're in a box somewhere. But he said it's a complete malarkey. The moot point that is with regards to this, the discounting the future cash flow, doesn't apply to these companies, and they were under-owned coming into the turn of the year. And that is exactly why that has happened. I just sat there and just, my mind is blown. Finally, someone has actually been able to explain it half decently about exactly what it was that's happened on this one, which is great. And the other one that he mentioned, he kicked into, was saying that the other one is that when you're in a slow growth environment, as people are trying to push it towards it, companies that are growing become a hot commodity. Now, I know that's a little bit talking his book, but he's just like, the companies that can do it and are doing it suddenly become the hottest commodities on the street, which is what we've seen with that seven. And that, again, blows my mind. It's just like, these are companies that will grow the economy to the state that they're wanting to do, and not trying to push stuff uphill. And the other clanger that he said is that value, he was a real anti-value sort of situation. It was there. Value doesn't grow economies. And so that's sort of what he was talking about, with that the US economy will continue to grow and will continue to be strong, and there's no reason to think that it's going to be anywhere otherwise. We've got I have to agree with him. There's no reason to think why the US economy won't just continue to be, you know, what it is. That those companies are going to continue to do what they do and do what they do well, and they're a hot commodity in a slower growth environment. Be a part of that growth side. He was fantastic, and he went through a whole bunch of other stuff with the thematics that they did. I'm not going to disclose that one. You had to be in the room. That's part of my IP about what I do. And look, it was great. I was really happy to be a part of that chat that we had today.
Yeah, and look, I totally agree. I mean, especially for, if you're a quality company able to consistently grow your earnings over time at a decent tick, and you've got you've got a product that everyone wants or a service that everyone wants. Then, you know, you deserve that premium, that price to earnings multiple premium. We see it here in Australia with something like a CSL. CSL's forever traded at very high premiums, but they've every year they continue to knock it out of the park with earnings. Yep. You know, if we move COVID and all that sort of gear. So, I agree. But, I mean, to me, though, it still doesn't mean that they're not expensive, which I think, you know, you look at your Apples, your Microsofts, et cetera. They're not expensive, so you still got to choose your entry points.
And
I know I've been banging on about, you know, the market overall is expensive and expect a pullback, but I'm not expecting anything major. You know, a 10 to 20% pullback on the back of, you know, a confirming of a coming recession would be, you know, great. It'd be fantastic and a great opportunity to jump into these companies, especially something something like Apple now is starting to look really expensive, given the headwinds that are coming through in China and their China growth story, with potentially China not banning but slowly banning their phones over there. But again, on the other side of things, they've got a tailwind coming from India. Their products will soon be pushed out more towards
India. They're under-owned. The physical phone is under-owned in India. Now, I was about to say, no one knows more about India than me. There's a few people who know more about India than me, but I consider myself an Indian expert. Mm-hmm. Oh wow, that's big that I've said
that. Be cool.
I think that I am. I think I've done enough work on the India stuff for the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange project that they can actually offer that service of actually going into India, which is like no other. Oh, here we go. Here's a spiel. Here's the ad that they offer that service of going into the Indian market that not a lot of other places have access to do so. Mm. So I've done all the work on going into the Indian market, and I think it's 7%. 7% of phone, 7% of mobile phone usage is Apple, and it's got to be bigger than that because just naturally it's going to be.
Over 50% in China.
So mate, the Indian market is going to be saving all of our bacons, and maybe our bacon does need to be saved. But for anything that happens, this is what the China Plus One policy exists for. Not only for manufacture, but also for where you're actually selling stuff into. India is right there. India is friendly. India's not, you know, they don't want to piss anyone off. They're going to play ball, right? So you know, going long India is continue to be the good strategy that's on, which is why you need to use the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. Thanks very much. So the other thing was it's gone. Sorry, I've lost it. Oh no, there was something else that's gone. No, anyway, sorry. What's you keep on talking.
Do you want to chat a little bit of Tesla?
Yeah, go on, talk about Tesla. Oh, Tesla. Yeah. You are mad for Tesla. This is all the...
No, I'm not mad for Tesla.
Okay.
I'll preface this with saying I don't have any direct exposure to Tesla, neither do my clients. We've got some ETFs that hold it, but I'm coming out of this totally neutral. And I read the Morgan Stanley research...
Look at you arms length your way away from this sort of thing. Come on, man.
I read that Morgan Stanley research report on Tesla at the start of the week, and... Mm. The computing power now that Tesla is acquiring through their own R&D and their own manufacturing, development, is mind-boggling. And some of the statistics, like they've built themselves a supercomputer called Dojo, and this is what will run and develop and help learn their full service self-driving in their Teslas. And at a much better rate. So currently, most of their computing stuff is on NVIDIA.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
GPUs, the A100 and the H100s.
Oh, yeah, the H100s. Yeah.
Yep. So, and they've now developed their own chip, the D1. And it's got about, so if you put together a tile and one tile has 25 chips, two tiles make up a cabinet, and you look at that compared to a NVIDIA GPUs, the one tile is equal to about six GPU boxes.
Yep.
And each box contains eight GPUs. So
yep, I got it.
At the moment, it's looking like a tile, which is equivalent to six boxes. One of these six times more powerful, has six more times computing power than what NVIDIA can provide to the market. So that's phenomenal. What used to take them a month to learn and to label this visual video data now takes less than a week because of this stuff. And at the moment, they've got about 4.5 exaflops, which is described.
No way, there's no way I'm not laughing when you say that.
Exaflops, 4.5. They're getting to 100 by the end of next year. That will take them to the fourth most powerful supercomputer in the world. And basically what this does is speeds up their FSD to market, the driving to market. And then that obviously has other implications in terms of, you know, third-party access. You know, if you're a Ford or a General Motors and you don't have, at the moment, I don't think they've got anything self-driving in the works or that we know of, or they've come to market with, why would they spend, you know, better part of a decade doing that when they could third-party license it from someone like Tesla moving forward?
Yeah.
These things are also take up less shelf space. So one exaflop of these things is about 50% of the size of the equivalent from NVIDIA. The power consumption is one third as much, about 15 kilowatt hours per tile versus 39 kilowatt hours per box on the NVIDIA side of things. So you can see that there. And also to construct this 100 exaflop supercomputer would cost about $8 billion if they did it via the NVIDIA chips. Via their own chips, it's going to cost them about $1.5 billion. So a huge CapEx savings there for them as well. So you've got CapEx savings, you've got OpEx savings moving forward with power, because obviously, you know, power costs are what are the main encumbrant on these data centers and supercomputers, et cetera. And then you have third-party applications moving forward in a few years, you know, on selling their data and their services and the power, the computing power they have to other companies and industries. I mean, you know, you think you're a logistical company. Why wouldn't you want to get a hold of this this video data all ready for you to go, you know, it's already learnt, it's labelled. It's phenomenal. You if you've got can get a hold of this report.
All right. Wrap it up. Read it. Yeah.
I'm not saying go out and rush out and buy Tesla. I'm just saying I can understand how you can make an extreme bull case for them here. I mean, I think Morgan Stanley chucked a $400 price tag on them. They're about $270 at the moment. That's up 10% from when the report came out. We've got the chart on the screen now.
Yeah.
But to me, it was quite phenomenal, and it was a game changer. And this is new information, because we knew they were developing AI chips and a supercomputer. We didn't know the capabilities or how good they were going to be. Just like when NVIDIA last year released their AI chips, we had no idea what they were like.
Yeah,
so this is new information to the market.
That is true. Annoyingly, I mean, here's the thing, is that as much as I despise Cathie Wood and the nonsense that she does, it's part of the case that ARK was building for her. And a lot of people, a lot of the Kool-Aid drinkers, I'm going to call them, who are just mad on just blindly buying Tesla at 8,000 times forward PE. Not that it matters, but there's a point at which this is money. It actually relates to what Scott was talking about from Global X the other day. He was like, there's a point at which, and this sort of goes to your valuation thing as well, there's a point at which the valuation on your growth companies does become stupid. And I mean, like really stupid. When Tesla was predicted, well, theoretically, the valuations that they had on Tesla that Cathie Wood was banging the drum about, the nonsense that she had.
$3,000 per stock or something.
But it was assuming that Tesla would have 50% of the cars on the road. Like that's what had to happen to justify that. And it's like, ridiculous. Okay, that's insane. You need to sit down. And he did mention, he's just like, this isn't the first fund that she's blown up. She blew up the Alliance Bernstein one. He said, no one talks about that. It was funny that you mentioned that. I forgot about that. But anyway, so potentially the second one that she almost blew up on this one. But the clanger that he said was, there's a point at which you don't go into that crazy growth. The other thing that the Kool-Aid drinkers for Tesla did mention is that it's not a car company, it's a data company. This reinforces that position on that one. I don't like Tesla because of Elon Musk. But you buy a car company, they're going to make cars, that's great. You can buy any car company that's going to make cars. I mean, Mercedes again, that was really good. I pulled so much out of an hour and a half talking to one guy that it's given me enough material for months now. He's like, for all of Tesla's, you know, hooting and harring about how great they are with their FSD, Mercedes won that level 3 full self-driving race in America. Mercedes has done it.
Yeah, but don't forget that it's still in beta. The full thing is supposed to be out the end of this year or start of next year, will benefit from this supercomputer.
Yeah. I mean, the annoying thing is that how many times does Tesla want to say it's right around the corner before you just stop believing that they're there? I don't like them because I think that Elon Musk is a fraud, and that's I'm not hesitant to say that at all. I think the only reason why he is still in the position that he's in is because he's one of the participants playing the simulation that we're all living in. There's no other explanation for it. I'm sorry. He should have been banned as a CEO after that whole
the 420.
The 420 stuff. Okay. Position. He should not be able to run a company. He shouldn't be able to straight up lie as much as he does and BS the market about things that are coming and just trying to convince people into it and then still selling on the other side and making up malarkey excuses for it. He's a tiny man who's managed to grift off a lot of other people's hard work. And look, I'm sure he's extraordinarily intelligent, but I'd just rather not have him in charge of a company. That's all.
You're not going to read his book that's coming out in a month or so?
No. It's no, man. I got my own things to do. I got my own problems. Okay. Mate, footy tips, and then let's go, because I got to go and pack some more boxes and actually.
Okay, no worries, mate. No worries. Well. We did well last week. Tipped Brisbane on the line. I think it was 14.5 points, and they won that quite easily.
Yep.
I'm tipping GWS to upset Port this week. $2.28. Even though
Port
beat them convincingly a few weeks ago here at Adelaide Oval. I think it's a little bit different. Port's got a few injuries. GWS is in ripping form.
They are.
I just think they're going to come over here and get the job done. And Port will be out straight sets.
Can you hear that? Is that a big sound?
Big sound.
It's a big sound. Big
sound. I want them to make the grand final.
I want to play half decent in the grand final.
Yeah, yeah. So just so we get to play that song again and do the whole big sound thing again.
We all believe for about 12 minutes of us believing that GWS might have a chance in that grand final. It's one of the rare grand finals where I just didn't watch the end of it. That and Sydney last year. the New South Wales team is really dominating in grand finals recently. We've got to do better than we are. I think GWS all the way, which is great. Screw Port, can't stand them. I hate Port more than – I mean, I'm ambivalent towards Collingwood. I think they're a good, respectable team. Can't stand Port. We'll never understand why. There's no real rational thought to it. Hatred is an irrational feeling, but I'm allowed to express my feelings. It's that week. Are you okay week? And to everyone, everyone who asked me yesterday, you already knew the answer. where were we? I think that who's going over to New Zealand? Oh, I think that Melbourne Storm are going to win tonight. And you know what? I think a cheeky couple on the Newcastle Knights away in New Zealand is probably the way to go as well in the NRL. And then, so what have we got? Melbourne. Yeah, Melbourne to win against the Roosters. That'll be like 30 plus. Melbourne will just completely destroy the Roosters. Say goodnight, boys. And the Knights over there. Look, they give 4.5 for the Knights. You know, take 4.5.
Listen to the trial.
I prefer to tweak it. Go 6.5 if you want. Bring the odds down. But gift. So look, multi that up into whatever you want to do, into a special. Put that into Fiji to beat the Wallabies. Have you seen the time that this game is on?
No,
it's
like, no.
It's 1:45 on Monday morning. I can't do it, man. I just can't live like that anymore. There was a time when I would have been, it's great. It's just like you can't barrel into a week and actually perform at your best. And I'm meant to be at my best with coming off that nonsense, especially watching a Wallabies team that shouldn't really be over there. Anyway,
that's it'd be at 8:30 at night and prime time, and I still wouldn't be watching it. So.
they could literally be in my backyard.
Have fun, boys.
I'm inside. I'm going to get a cup of tea. I've got the AFL. All right. Look, that's enough for today. Fantastic. Thank you for joining us, Heath. Last bids.
That's it. Go GWS. Let's hear that
big
sound.
Big sound, mate. You're going to love it. Sensational. Go New South Wales and everything that they do. And that's it. I'll talk to you later on, mate. Have yourself a good one. Stay safe. Mark well, everyone.
You too. See you later, everyone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.